Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's stay standing and let's pray. Thank you so much. What a legend. Can everyone cheer for Herman? Yeah, let's just posture ourselves before the Lord. I actually just had the sense that there were some people in the room that would go, this is not for me. You know, sometimes when you hear the word and you're like, so-and-so really needs to hear that. Or that maybe I'm not good enough to do this thing that I'm being convicted to do. And I feel like in this moment we just need to let go of it's not for me and be like, no, it is for me. And just open our hearts to receive that. So Lord, I ask that we would all have open hearts to receive your word. But Lord, that we would not disqualify or discount ourselves. But that, Lord, the conviction of your Holy Spirit would lead us, that we would catch your heart, and that from that place we would encounter you, and that, Lord, that the encounter that we receive, we will become to others in Jesus' name. So, Father, I ask that you would bless this word, that you would bless every person in this room, that, Lord, that they would be changed tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can take your seats. If you're sitting alone, why don't you just scoot into the middle of the aisle and sit next to someone else? I don't want anyone to be alone tonight. Make sure you're all nice and close. Well, it is my honor to be here again with you and to bring the word. And as Pastor Thomas has just introduced, we are talking about reaching, raising, and releasing. And I've been asked to share on reaching people. And it's beautiful because this is ultimately what discipleship is. This is what we're called to do. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to reach out, to bring them in, to raise them up as disciples, and to release people into their calling and destiny. And so today I want to take you through the why, the what, and the how of reaching. What does it actually mean to reach people? And then we're going to get a little bit practical. So buckle up. All right, let's open the word. So come with me to Luke 10. We're going to sit here for the whole night and we're going to dig into this. So Luke 10, I'm reading from the ESV. You can follow along in the screens. Probably, yeah, awesome. So we'll start in verse 1. We're going to jump around a little bit, but we're going to focus on this chapter. So Luke 10, verse 1 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And then in verse 9, he says, heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So he sends them out, and then we'll see what happens when they come back. In verse 17, jump down there. It says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. In the NKJV, it says nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that's how I've memorized it. And I'm like, where is that? ESV, nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Verse 21, in the same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such is your gracious will. Jesus rejoices when they come back. And then we're going to read one more thing. Jump down to verse 25. So we've got a picture first of Jesus sending them out and rejoicing when they've come back. And then he shares his parable. So verse 25, behold, a lawyer stood up to him and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who then is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when you come back.' Which of these three do you think," this is what Jesus is asking, "which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said to him, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus replied, "You go and do likewise." Amen. So why do we reach people? This whole chapter is about reaching people, but why? Why do we reach people? Well, if we got a vision of Jesus' love for humanity, then we would. It's not about, "I need to be doing more." I think sometimes we can get religious and think, "Yeah, I'm not doing enough. I haven't shared my faith with someone in a little while. I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough." No, it's not about that. It's actually, what is God's heart for humanity? And if we would catch his heart, then we would respond. Just as Pastor Thomas was saying, like, imagine if Melbourne was changed. Imagine if our city was filled with people that knew Jesus. Imagine a world where, as we pray, on earth as it is in heaven. Imagine if we actually lived in an earth where it looked like heaven. This is God's heart, and he kindly wants to use you to bring heaven to earth. We talk about making disciples is not optional, and Pastor Sheree shared on this a couple of weeks ago, and it was awesome. And the thing about that is not optional because it's out of obedience, and obedience is out of a response of our love. That if we love him, we want to respond, we want to obey. And we can love him because we trust him and we trust that he is good and because he sees the end from the beginning. He's not asking us to do something and hoping that it will work out. He's already seen the end. And he's saying, "Catch my heart and step in it and walk it out." But evangelism is also a spiritual discipline. It also still requires us to discipline ourselves and to actually go, "Yeah, even though I don't feel like it, I'm still going to do it." Reading the word is a spiritual discipline. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. I said last week that giving is a spiritual discipline. Evangelism, similarly, is a spiritual discipline. But if we think about it in this way, it takes off this sort of methodology, because we know that prayer is a spiritual discipline, but the way that I pray probably looks different to the way that Pastor Sheree prays. And the way that I pray probably looks different to the way that Cain prays. So we all pray, we have a different expression. Some people spend hours lingering in the presence of the Lord. Some people are talking with him as they're driving, as they're walking, as they're going about their day. And I hope that we could do all of these things. But because it is a discipline that is unique to us, so is evangelism. We actually need to actually catch God's heart for it and then live it the way that we've been called to live it, not just take a method and apply it. Do you understand? The word the church is the word ecclesia in the Greek, in the New Testament. And whenever that is used in the New Testament, it is not to refer to a building, but it's actually a gathering of people. It's not about a location, but it's about an assembly of people. It literally means an assembly of people called out from the world to God. That means God first had to reach us. He called us out from the world. And now we get to copy that we get to be his sons and daughters and actually reach the world. I think it was Pastor Sheree who said this. I don't know who said it. Someone said, "The church without a mission would cease to be the church." And I thought, how awesome is that? Imagine if the disciples took what Jesus said to them and then they just were like, "Cool, thanks, Jesus." And then at the end of his life, that was it. 3 years of ministry and then no church after that. Imagine if they didn't grasp that the church is a mission, is a movement, and they thought it was just a building or just a man. Who are we to withhold? When we get a revelation that we as the church are supposed to be on mission, we're all supposed to continue this on from generation to generation. If the church was just a building and not a people, then what happens when we all pass on and none of us are here and there's just an empty building, right? We actually have to pass this on. We carry that as a people of God. John 3:16, you should all know it. It says, God so loved the world. Actually, let's bring it up on the screens and let's read it together. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And I'm sure many of you have already committed this to memory, but I want to encourage you, commit that to memory, that God loved us enough that he gave his only son to give us eternal life. He loves enough to give. And we as his sons and daughters should carry the heart of our Father to love enough that we would give. Because it's God's heart to reach people. So why? Why do we reach? Because it's God's heart to do it. And as his sons and daughters, that is our responsibility to carry on his heart. And so I want to encourage you to make this your prayer. Make this your daily prayer. Lord, give me your heart for the lost. Even that song that we were just singing earlier where it says, I can't even remember the line, but it was basically like, give me your heart for the lost. Jade, can you remind me, what was the line? Yeah, what was the line that we were singing? Lead me in your love to those around you. Yeah, lead me in your love to those around me. It's not our love, it's his love. So we want to be led in his love. And so this is why are we reaching people? Because it's God's heart to do it. So what does it actually mean to reach somebody? Well, reach, you all know what the meaning of the word reach is. It's either that I'm bringing something to myself, so I've reached for this and I've brought it to myself, or I'm bringing myself to something. So if I'm holding a handrail and I'm pulling myself up. So reaching is extending a hand and it's bringing two separate things together. It's either that I have something to give or I have something, or I'm reaching out to help bring something. Does that make sense? Probably not explaining it super well, but you know, you all know what that means. But there are isolated people in our world, but there are also isolated people in this building. And that's why I'm like, I don't want anyone to sit alone. We're not supposed to be isolated. You can be in a crowd of people, you can be in a room full of people and still be isolated. We all have hands to reach. As I'm saying, it's God's heart to reach. So are we being bold? Are we reaching out? Are we extending a hand and sharing what we have? So what does it mean to reach somebody? It means giving them what we have. It means loving them as we love ourselves, as we read in the scripture, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I've been talking with some of our young adults a little bit about like inclusivity and you know, like not leaving anyone out, like let's bring people together, let's be inclusive. And you guys are amazing at that. But sometimes we can discount ourselves and go, well, oh, like, you know, I've only got 4 hours spare in my week. Like my schedule's full. I don't have time for another friend. Like I'm too busy. Or, you know, I've got enough friends. We make these excuses why not to reach someone. But if you're in that position, you still have something to give, even if you can't be that person's best friend. You can still bring them into the family of God, introduce them to other people. If you know more than one other person in this room, you've already got someone to introduce someone else to. So even if you don't have the answer, you don't necessarily think you've got the thing to give, think about what you have in the family of God that you can connect them to. I had a really interesting encounter a couple of years ago where the Lord just really spoke to me about giving what I have. I went to America in 2024, and as I was sitting on the plane to fly home, sitting on the tarmac, we hadn't taken off yet, there was like some kind of power outage and we were like, what's going on? All the lights went out and then it came back on again, and the voiceover came on and said, something's gone wrong. We can't get a hold of air traffic control. We're just going to wait here. We'll let you know what's happening in half an hour. So we wait half an hour. They come back around. It's like, yeah, nothing's happening. They're just like, don't get off the plane. There's nowhere to go. Just hang out until something happens. And mind you, it was 11 p.m. when I got on. So at this point, it's like midnight. We're just sitting there. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I'm trying to go home. I've got my friend's birthday to go to. Like, I'm going to be late. And I'm just like, what are we doing? Anyway, I thought, okay, I'll get up. I'd actually just been on a trip and I'd learnt about prayer and intercession. So I was like, cool, I'm just going to get up and I'm going to pray. So they let us go into the tunnel that kind of would go to the airport, but not get off and go into the airport. So I'm just pacing back and forth and praying. And I'm like, all right, Lord, like, you're going to do something. You're going to make this, you're going to make this work. And then, you know, I saw these people playing Uno and I was like, oh, cool, I'll just play Uno with them. And then I was hanging out with these people. And then I was just, you know, I don't know, I was just having a good time. We were just stranded on a plane and I was just having such a great time. And I was like, this is awesome. And I thought, well, what else am I going to do now? I was like, you know, those people have finished. I'm like, oh, I can just read my Bible. So I sat back in my seat and I just randomly opened to 2 Corinthians and I read this. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves have received from God. And I realized I was having a great time, but no one else was. I was sitting there going like, I'm not worried what's going to happen because I know that the Lord works in everything and what's a plane delay? Like, thank God we weren't in the air when that happened. You know, we were safe. And we're sitting there and I'm like, I actually feel great. And I look around, I see these guys that are just taking their sleeping pills and because they were expecting to go and now they're just sitting there sleeping. I'm looking around, there's all these distressed people and I'm like, I have received comfort from the Lord. I have to give it away. All these people are in discomfort. Imagine if I didn't care enough. Like if I'm like, oh, I know what God's given me, but I don't really care enough to share that. No, the Lord grips my heart and he's like, no, you need to share what you've received. So I'm like, all right, Lord. So I started pacing up and down and most people were asleep. Again, it was like probably 1 a.m. at this point. Most people were asleep and I'm looking around and I see this lady. I pass this lady and the Lord's like, hey, and she's wearing a face mask and it was 2024. So just leave it at that. I was like, not her, Lord. Not her, Lord. And he was like, yes, it's her. And I was like, no, it's not. And he was like, yes, it's her. I was like, okay. So then I was like, hey, how's it going? And she just proceeded to complain. She was like, oh, I work in engineering. They're like, I can fix it. Why are we stuck here? And I was like, oh, Lord, why her? Anyway, so she's complaining to me. And I was like, cool, that's awesome. Like, that's great. The reason why I'm talking to you is because I just felt like God stopped me and he asked me to talk to you and I'm wondering if I could just pray for you. I know this is pretty distressing and, you know, you've got places to be. I think she had an interview to go to or something and I was like, let's pray. Can I pray for you? And she said, no, thanks. I was like, what do you have to lose? She said, okay, fair enough. And so I prayed for her and literally I just was like, Lord, would you hit her with joy? Like, I've received this joy, just hit her with joy. And she had, like, a stern look on her face. And at first, I think she was mocking me. But then something came out of her and her countenance literally changed and she was filled with joy. And I opened my eyes and she looked different. She literally looked, she was filled with joy. And I was like, yes and amen. And then when I said amen, literally, they were like, all right, guys, get off the plane, disembark. And we didn't take off that night, but it shifted in that moment. And the Lord just reminded me, like, no matter who they are, no matter who we are, we have something to give. We have comfort. We have the joy of the Lord. We have freedom in Christ. We have the gospel. Who are we to withhold that? We look at this, this passage that I read in Luke 10. At the very start, it says, Jesus says to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. What he's saying here is three simple things. You need to see the need. See that the harvest is plentiful and not just the need, but the opportunity. Like all of this harvest is ripe for the picking. And if there's not people to catch it, then it's going to go to waste. This harvest is ripe for the picking. Our generation, my generation, is ripe for the picking. Have you seen the curiosity of people? Have you seen people just coming to Jesus and social media and all of these spaces? Have you seen it? The harvest is ripe. There is a need, but there is an opportunity. So we've got to see the need. Secondly, we've got to care about it. We actually have to, something in our heart, not just to go, oh, I see it and I could share with someone, but do I care? We've got to care about it. If you don't, then you need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And then what does he do? He says, do something about it. They responded immediately. He says, go your way. In other words, get out of here while you're still here. Go. You've seen, you can see it. You now have a heart for it. Now you've got to go and do something about it.
If it was about our personalities, we wouldn't be able to give it away. I can't give you my personality, but what I can give you is Christ in me. What I can give you is what I've received. Even as Matt was sharing earlier in communion, we've received the body and the blood of Jesus. That's what we have to give to others. This is what we've received. And so we get to introduce people to Jesus, not to ourselves, not what we can do, but what we have received through him. If it was up to me and that lady, I would not have interacted with her. But God in me had love for her and gave her something that only he could give. And we have a value that miracles are normal. So we expect God to show up when we step out. Mark 16, 17 says that these signs will accompany those who believe. And then it goes on to explain what those signs are. We expect God to show up when we step out because he's already said it in his word. He's already promised it in his word that when we believe, that when we go make disciples, that he will show up. And that's why we have a value that miracles are normal. We don't have the solutions. People come to me for advice about things I can't give them advice about, but I have the Holy Spirit and I can introduce them to him, and that's what I have to give. So what does it mean to reach? It means to give what we have. It means sharing what we have. And lastly, how can I reach somebody? Well, we have a value that his presence is our priority. In other words, we prioritize God in every moment. We make ourselves aware of his presence. We grow in an awareness of his presence. And if I prioritize him, then what he values, I value. What he sees, I see. What he does, I do. If I have an awareness of God, then I can become near to him. And when I'm near him, I can obey him because I begin to walk in step with his spirit. It means that we're aware of his presence everywhere that we go. It means that we're not looking for just an encounter in the church, that we're not just going, oh, I encounter God when I'm on this altar, on this carpet, when I'm sitting here or when I'm sitting up the back, but that I'm aware of his presence everywhere that I go, and that I desire to bring his presence everywhere that I go. I think we forget because we didn't live in the Old Testament times, but yes, God is omnipresent. He's always been omnipresent. But in the Old Testament, he was confined to people and places and spaces. And you can literally track, like through Genesis, for example, you can track that when the people of God were in a certain place, they were blessed, and when they were in other places, they weren't, because the presence of God was with them in some places and not in others. But in the New Testament, we've received the Holy Spirit. And so the presence of God is with us everywhere. Paul and Silas were in a prison cell and they rejoiced in the Lord and they encountered God in that place. So we actually have the presence of God that we can carry with us everywhere that we go. But we have to be aware of it. We have to be aware of it. And so being aware of it is sometimes going to require us to cut some things out of our life and to change some behaviors so that we can create space for him. It could be something that is cluttering your mind with lustful thoughts. It could be a sin pattern. It could be a person in your life that is speaking things over you. There can be things in your life that you might need to remove so that you can actually create space for God. It could be your phone, and we love to hate on our phones, and thank God they're useful for many things. But I've been so convicted over the past probably 12 months, and I still do it, but every time I do, I'm like so convicted of walking down the street scrolling my phone. Like I'm just going for a walk, or I'm going to move my car, I'm going from A to B, and I'm just looking at this. Because when I'm looking at that, I'm aware of nothing else. And like I had a realization the other day, when I'm reading a book, if someone walks past me, I'll look up and talk to them. But if I'm on my phone, it's like the whole world doesn't exist. I'm just like so focused on this little thing. And we can get so consumed by things that aren't God, that we can completely miss the opportunity right in front of us. So maybe you need to do something practical. Maybe you need to turn your phone off, throw it away. Maybe you need to put it down somewhere and go talk to people with it completely out of sight. Maybe you need to do something practical. You'll know what it is for you. You'll know what your distraction is. Put your distraction aside so that you can be aware of God's presence. Sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit is a booming voice from heaven, but sometimes it is the compassion in our heart. This is why we read the Good Samaritan story, because firstly we see the priest, who we all know priest is a religious man of God, walking down the road. He for all I know, he was probably going to do something for God. But he wasn't aware of God in that moment to see the man. He saw him, but he wasn't aware in his heart to actually receive the compassion of the Lord to respond. The Levite, similarly, is a man of God. The Levites were the people set apart for God to worship in the temple. And he saw, but he didn't let his heart be moved because he wasn't allowing his heart to be moved. He wasn't aware of what God was doing in that moment. We have to become aware. We have to allow God to speak. And sometimes, like I heard this girl talking on a podcast about, she thought she didn't hear God's voice, but then she would walk past someone and just be weeping for a homeless person on the street. Or just her heart would just break for someone. And her friend said, that's the voice of the Lord. Compassion is the voice of God. He calls his name that he calls himself in Exodus is the God of mercy, abounding in steadfast love. His compassion is his very nature. So when we feel compassion for someone, that is the voice of the Lord speaking to us. It says that Samaritan man, who by the way, was an outcast in the Jewish society, was considered a half Jew. He, as he journeyed, he had compassion. That's verse 33. He had compassion. The voice of the Lord could be compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion before he multiplied the bread and the fish. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw sick come to him when he was done for the day and his shift had, he'd clocked off from his shift. But he was moved with compassion when people came to him. So compassion is God's heart. And sometimes there can be a million different excuses, and one of them is just like, oh, like I don't really care. And that's not a good excuse. We actually need to have our hearts broken and have compassion. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, he empowered us to be witnesses. In Luke 24, it says it as well. Jesus says, you are witnesses, now go. Wait until you receive the Holy Spirit, until you're clothed with the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit convict you, let him compel you to go. So we talked about, okay, what do we have to give? Well, if you're filled with Jesus, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're aware of him, if you receive boldness from the Holy Spirit, then that's what you're going with, because what's inside of you is what's going to come out of you. And you don't have to go to the next city or state or to the other side of the world to reach someone. There are literally people in your world right now that need Jesus. If we would just stop for a moment and realize the people that we encounter that are our neighbors. The question that Jesus asked the Good Samaritan, he says, who was this man's neighbor? He said, which of these do you think proved to be the neighbor of the one who fell among thieves? Which of them actually carried the neighbor's heart towards him? They all could have been the neighbor, but which one actually carried the heart? Are we looking in our gym? Are we looking in our workplaces? Are we looking when we're going to buy petrol, when we're going to get a coffee, the people that we're seeing, are we looking at them? And are we seeing them as our neighbor and seeing them as the one that the Lord wants to reach? Are we looking at the person that every Sunday sits by themselves? Even in this, yes, of course, we're talking about the unsaved. But what about even in here? Unsaved people come in here too. Praise God. We don't want it to just always be Christians. We're actually supposed to be a place for broken people to come. Are we looking out for them? Are we reaching out to that person that we always see alone or upset? Are we, as a people of God, carrying God's heart to reach one another? So how do we reach? We reach by prioritizing God's presence, because what's on his heart then becomes what's on our heart. And we're going to take a moment. We've probably got about 10, 15 minutes left, but we're going to take a moment right now to ask God to give us a heart, to reflect, to actually just take a moment and to just set our eyes on him and to ask God, who do you want me to reach out to? Or if I don't feel like I've got a heart for it, would you just simply give me a heart for it? I'm not going to have any music. I just want you to sit down, close your eyes, however you want to posture yourself before the Lord in this moment. And I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit for a heart for the lost. Just in your own words, just intercede for yourself. I don't have to pray over you. I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to build yourself up and to ask him, Lord, maybe you need to repent and say, Lord, I've been too busy. I've been too fearful. Maybe I've been so self-consumed that I've missed it. And I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me for overlooking the person that is right in front of me. Forgive me for being too much in a hurry to get to my next thing. Forgive me for being too consumed with social media or someone's attention or something else that I miss what you are doing. Father, would you give us a revelation of your heart, of your compassion, of the Jesus that rejoiced when we went out and brought the lost in, that's your heart, that all of heaven rejoices over one. And in this posture, I also want you to ask, Holy Spirit, who is the one person in my world that you want me to reach out to this week? And if you want to take out your journal, your phone, you want to write that down, I would encourage you to write that down. Who is one person? I'm sure there's more than one, but the first person that comes to your mind, ask Holy Spirit, who is the one person you want me to reach out to this week? And when he's given you that person, then I want you to ask him, what is my next step with this person? What is one thing that you want me to do this week? Do I need to care more about them? Do I need to share the gospel with them? Maybe I've cared and I've done kind things, but I haven't shared. Do I need to invite them into my world or to church? Do I need to follow up with someone that I once shared with? Just ask the Holy Spirit now and let him lead you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to encourage you to make this your daily prayer. Lord, break my heart for the lost. To meditate on passages like what we just read in Luke 15 that talks about the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son, and to catch his heart. We thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and any discouragement, any disqualification of self in this moment of thinking, I can't do that, I ask, leave the room in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would give every person a heart to reach, a heart of God to reach, to see the need that is in front of them. Would you open their eyes? Would you give them spiritual contact lenses to see clearly, to see the need? To care and, Lord, to be bold, to go and to step out in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now I'm going to put you to work. So I actually want you to stand up right now. And I'm going to take you through something. You're going to stand for a couple of minutes and then I'm going to make you do something. If you want to share, you need to know how to do it. So we're going to put up on the screen behind me, please, 5 points in how to very simply share the gospel. There is a million different ways that you can do this. It's the same gospel. I didn't come up with this. There's lots of like iterations of the same thing. So it's not a method, but it's helpful. We've got five fingers. It's really easy to remember. Firstly, let me give you the gospel in a minute or two. That we were created for relationship with God, that in the beginning, God created mankind to be in relationship with him. And he is a perfect God. But two, sin entered the world when Adam and Eve chose to use their free will to step out of alignment with God and broke that perfect relationship. And since then, all of mankind has continued to sin. And this has caused a separation because the perfect God cannot coexist with an imperfect people, because that would then make one sway one way or the other, right? Perfection and imperfection cannot coexist. And so the only way for this to be reconciled was to be completely made new and restore new relationship was for Jesus to die on the cross, to die in our place, to pay the price, the wages of sin, as it says in Romans, to pay the wages of our sin, forgive all of our sins through his act of willful sacrifice, and to give us eternal life with him. After living a sinless life, undeserving of the crucifixion, he took our punishment. Then number four, resurrection. Jesus overcame death and sickness and the grave. He overcame it all and said, death is not the end, but that you would get to have eternity with me, fully restoring relationship. It has all been paid for, and all we need to do simply is have faith that Jesus is the Lord, that what he did was for us, that we would believe in our heart, that we would choose to turn from our sin, and that we would follow him. Okay, I probably did that a little bit clunky, but it's only 5 points. It's not hard, and you don't have to do it perfectly, and you don't have to go through the whole creation story, but simply talk about the fact that we have all sinned, we've all messed up, none of us are perfect. Even if some of us think we are, none of us are perfect. Only God is, and the only thing that can restore us in relationship was the death and resurrection of Jesus. So we're also going to go to the next slide, and I've got, so these are a couple of other ways that you can practice sharing with people. So as I've just shared, 5-point gospel, you can even Google that. There's different ways that you can go about that. Practice at home, practice in the mirror, practice to your dog, I don't know, practice to someone. The next thing is your personal testimony. So each of you would have a personal testimony, and I don't want to hear anyone say they don't have a testimony, because then you're saying that I don't have one either, because I grew up in a Christian household. I have a testimony. Thank you very much. You have a testimony, so you can share that, and no one can argue with your personal experience. So you've got that to share. My third point is what's inside you is what's going to come out of you. Whatever you love, whatever you're thinking about is what you're going to talk about. There's a lot of us in here that love running, and we talk about running all the time. We go for a run club on Saturday morning, and while we're running, we're talking about running. So we're thinking, when we're all consumed with something, when we're thinking about it all the time, that's what comes out of us, right? If we were just filled with Jesus, if we were just aware of him, if we're so in love with him and obsessed with him, what's inside of us is what's going to come out of us. So ask yourself, what am I always thinking about? Is it food? Is it my job? Is it money? Is it relationships? Is it exercise? Is it whatever it is? Now, how can I set my mind on him so that when I'm in conversation with people, it just happens. It just turns to Jesus because that's where my mind is. So this is actually a war that we need to wage in our mind. The next one is offer prayer to people. An amazing way to reach out to people. I think it's something like 80% of people open to prayer, something like that. Aaron, something like that. Most people are open to prayer, even if they have no religious affiliation. Most people are open to prayer. If I see someone with a physical ailment, it's really easy to go, "Hey, what happened to your arm? Hey, can I pray for you? I believe in Jesus. He's a healer. Can I pray for you?" It's a very easy way in. Or just like walking past and be like, "Hey, I just saw you and I just felt like God really loves you and I just wanted to share that with you and I'm wondering if I could pray for you. Is there anything you would like prayer for?" Like, who's going to say, like, literally this lady who said no to me, I was like, what have you got to lose? It's really, people are actually really, really, really open to prayer. So if you're not going to get to the gospel, offer prayer. The next is serve and connect. And this is a model that we use in reaching people in churches. Some of the ways that Pastor Thomas shared at the start, things like Red Frogs, things like open house, community outreach programs where we serve people, we demonstrate the heart of God. And then through demonstration, then we can connect them into the family of God. And then the last one I call follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. When people are around you, do they catch the fragrance of Christ? Do they see the scripture on your lock screen? Do they hear the worship music that's playing in your car? Do they see you pray when you sit down to eat a meal? Do they see Christ in you? The simplest little things that demonstrate Christ. Like, let's not sit down to a meal with someone and then go, "Well, I'm not going to, I normally pray, but I won't because I'm in front of them." No, like, let's do the things that we do and live a life that demonstrates Christ and that they'll see that in that. Okay, so those are just some really practical things for you to do. So what we're actually going to do right now, and if the team can jump to the next one to put back that up, awesome. I want you to turn to the person next to you. Everyone right now, turn to someone next to you. Find a partner. And once you've found your partner, say, "I found my partner." Okay. Is anyone alone? Raise your hand if you're alone. All right, we got one over here. Anyone else alone? You can do three if we really need to, but two is best, so everyone gets a chance to do this. Awesome. Okay, everyone's got your partner. All right, one of you is going to choose to be person A. So decide between you who's person A. Okay, if you're person A, raise your hand. Okay, person A, you're going to go second. So person with your hand down, you're going to go first. And I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you 1 minute. 1 minute, person B, I'm going to give you 1 minute to share, whether it's your testimony or 5-point gospel, 1 minute to share that with the person next to you, just simply to practice sharing the gospel. So ready, set, go. All right, you've all done amazing. Now it's time to stop. If you haven't got them saved yet, do better next time. All right, no, I'm just kidding. All right, swap over to the next person. I'm going to swap over. So person A, you are now going to go and your time starts now. All right, your time's up, person B. Well done. Give yourself a round of applause. I think that was the most beautiful thing I've seen. Just you all stepping out and doing that. How's everyone feeling? Are we feeling confident? Are we feeling like we can share it? Some of you are still going. Bless you. That's awesome. You want to do it again? You can just keep going after this. I mean, you can do that in your own time. All right, I want you to stand back up to your feet. And I hope that you feel equipped. I hope that you feel empowered. I hope that you feel like you've got a tool in your tool belt to go and go, I can go, and it's actually not that hard. It's actually not that scary. But maybe you're going, okay, I feel like I can do it, but I'm a little bit scared. Maybe I've got the tools, but everything, I'm equipped, but I'm a little bit fearful, or maybe my heart isn't fully in it. So we're going to pray together now. And this is not me praying for you. I want you to, with the people next to you, just put your arm on the shoulder next to you, and we're going to stand in faith together. As brothers and sisters, we're going to make a commitment in this moment to reach, to be the hands of Jesus, to reach out and to bring the lost into the family of God. So I want you to begin to pray over one another, pray against fear, pray against apathy, pray against hardened hearts, or even willful ignorance, willful disobedience. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we come against anything that is stopping us from being bold and from sharing our faith. Lord, I thank you that you have given us the opportunity, you have given us the heart to reach the lost. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every person in this room would be bold this week, that they wouldn't just walk away from this unchanged, but they would be bold to talk to someone out of their comfort zone, that they would be generous to one another, they'd be generous to people in their world, they would be paused, they'd be willing to be interrupted in the middle of their day, in the middle of their schedule, and Lord, to be interrupted by heaven for a divine appointment to catch the heart of God. I pray for a heart of compassion to come over every person in this room in Jesus' name. Lord, would you break our hearts for what breaks yours? Would you open our eyes to the brokenness of the world that we live in and the desire of God for every knee to bow before Jesus, for every person to be in relationship with a loving God? And I pray, Father, would we be so compelled? Would you restore to us the joy of our salvation? Would you remind us what we have been saved from and what we have been saved to? And would we not dare keep that to ourselves in the name of Jesus? So I pray for an awareness of your presence, Holy Spirit, to come over every single one of us. I speak to any thought that would be a distraction, any attack of the enemy that would be a distraction against stepping out in boldness. And I thank you, Jesus, that every person would leave this room filled with confidence and knowing that you go before them, that you're sending them out where you're going, and that you back them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to encourage you to step out this week. So you wrote down, you're accountable to yourself of that name, that person that you're going to share with or you're going to pray for, whatever that's going to look like. And so I want to encourage you to continue to pray for that. We're actually going to send you a reminder during the week just to remind you so that you can go, okay, yeah, this is a commitment that I've made and I'm going to follow through with it. There's also ways that you can get specifically connected and that you can serve in this way. And this, it doesn't have to be this. Like, we're supposed to live a lifestyle of an evangelism. We're supposed to live a lifestyle of discipleship. It's not just programs and life groups and all that kind of stuff. It's actually a lifestyle. But we do have some ways, if you need to be challenged, maybe you've been doing the same thing and you need to step out of your comfort zone. We've got these four ways that you can be connected. Firstly, we have street teams, which will be going out hitting the streets the next two Fridays at 7 p.m. So this coming Friday, we're going to be going to South Bank and we're going to be reaching people, just walking up to strangers. If you've never done that, I would encourage you to do that, just to break the mold, just to break the circuit and to do something out of your comfort zone. We'll pray together, we'll encourage you and we'll send you out. We've got some team that have been doing it for a while that know what they're doing, that can encourage you and take you. So this Friday, and then the one after is University's O Week. So we're actually going to go to the places where university students are maybe partying and getting drunk. We're going to go to those places and we're going to reach them. So that's going to be awesome. You can sign up for that on the QR code. Alpha, as Thomas shared at the start, Alpha is a powerful tool in introducing people to Jesus. It is a powerful tool for those that are curious and searching for something. Maybe you can host an Alpha in your home or in your workplace, even in your school. So if you would like more information about that, we would love to equip you with that. Red Frogs is one of those serve and connect models where you can serve people and then through that, through the love that you have for them, introduce them to Jesus. You can get involved in that. We also have Open House, which is a youth program that we have a youth that literally in the school just down the road, they walk past and they come and hang out with some of our team and through that get to encounter the power and love of Jesus. And we also have resources. So Sharing Jesus Confidently is a powerful resource that can teach you some of the things that we've gone through tonight, how to share your testimony, how to share the gospel, and give you scriptural backing for why we do it and what that looks like. So you can get those resources in the resource center straight after this. That's all I have for you. I want to pray a blessing over you. I also just want to encourage anyone in this room that doesn't know Jesus, that maybe you walked in and you're like, what is going on? What have I walked into? Is this normal church? Yes and no, it's kind of normal church. But if you've actually just walked in and maybe the person next to you has shared the gospel with you for the first time, I would love for you to just raise your hand. And don't worry about people looking around. Just raise your hand and just let me know, hey, I actually didn't know Jesus, or I've been far from him, I've walked away from him, and today I've been reminded of how good he is and I want to come back. I want to give my heart to him again. If that's you, could you just raise your hand just so our team could see it? We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to give you a Bible. Is there anyone in this room? Thank you, Jesus. If not, y'all got work to do. Amen. All right, let me pray for you. If you're still curious about your faith and you've got more questions, please come and speak to me or one of the team afterwards. We would love to just talk to you more about who Jesus is and introduce you to him. Let's pray, and then I want to send you out so that you can go your way, as Jesus said. So Lord, we thank you for every person in this room. I pray that you would bless them as we go out into this week. I pray, Father, that your presence is with them and that they would be aware of it as they step out of this room. And I thank you that you would comfort and strengthen them by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.